thank God for our families and their children. This morning, we find ourselves coming to another part of this chapter in Ephesians, where we receive various challenges and commands about what it means to live for the glory of God. And this morning, we want to see what God's Word has to say about glorifying God through a biblical work ethic. If you're in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28, we're just going to read that one verse this morning. God's Word says, "Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need." Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you again this morning for your precious word of truth to us. We thank you that every word of the Bible is true, that it is without error. And we thank you, Lord, that as we look into your word this morning, we will hear truth. I pray, Father, that your Spirit will take these words of truth and apply them well to our hearts. I pray that we would be open to however your Spirit determines to apply this truth to our hearts and lives. Father, where we need to change, may we humble ourselves by your grace and be willing to change. Where we need to be encouraged, Father, would your Spirit encourage us through his word this morning. Where we need to be comforted, Father, will your word comfort us this morning. We thank you, Lord, that every good and every perfect gift comes from you. And Father, we thank you for the gift of your church, the gift of your word, and the gift of this day. Father, as we look into your word this morning, may the words of my mouth be acceptable and praiseworthy to you, and may the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and glorifying in your sight. We ask this in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In the bulletin, there was a handout that could be of a help to you with an outline so you can see where we're heading this morning as we look into God's word. There's an Irish proverb that says, "You will never plow a field if you only turn it over in your mind." How many of us have been guilty at times of having a task and thinking exactly how we're going to do it, and then we just never seem to get around to doing it? That happens more often than not, because our lives get busy. Theodore Roosevelt is quoted as saying, "I would rather risk wearing out than rusting out." When we think of what God's Word has to say about a biblical work ethic, it actually says much about doing everything to the glory of God. This morning, I want to clarify or give a couple caveats, though, before we begin. When we think of a work ethic, many times we think, well, that has to do with having a job and having a salary. You know, I want to encourage you, whatever walk of life you're in this morning, whether you are still in school, or maybe you're on summer break from school, or you're anticipating that, whether you are employed or unemployed, whether you have an actual boss who pays you or an employer who pays you a salary, or maybe you are your own employee or employer for a business, you own your own company, maybe you're retired from the labor force, the workforce, this message is for you this morning, wherever you are. Because God's work for his church never ends. God has a high calling for every child of God. And so if you are a Christian this morning, God desires you to have a biblical work ethic to our daily lives. So be encouraged. So whether you're a child, whether you're a teen, whether you're a college student, whether you're an adult, married, single, retired, this message is for you this morning. I thank God that his word works that way, where it impacts each of us where we are. Charles Spurgeon said that Jesus was a great worker, and his disciples must not be afraid of hard work. We realize that the Christian life really does involve many times labor, hard work for the glory of God, and yet it's always worth it. It's always a blessing. And I want to be careful that as we look through here, we understand that it is not wrong for Christians also to rest. There is much said in the Bible about Christians resting as well. In fact, Jesus Christ even would say to his disciples at times, "Come away and rest a while." So I want to be careful. Another caveat I would have for us this morning is that we're not saying work, 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 and burn yourself out for the glory of God, because that doesn't glorify God. But what we do want to make sure is that we have a desire to glorify God with the talents and the opportunities he's given us, to have a biblical work ethic that glorifies him. Last week we looked at anger and how God wants to use anger in the right way, but also the wrong way, that we don't want to pursue anger. And so we saw how even in our emotions, we want to glorify God. Here, it's in our actions. How do we glorify God in our actions as we work together? We see work in Scripture as one of the first gifts that God gives Adam in the garden, Adam and Eve in the garden. Work was never a curse. Do you realize that? Now, after the curse of sin, work did not work out the way that it was intended to be. After sin came into this world, God said, you're going to toil, Adam, you're going to toil in the ground, and instead of fruit, you're going to have thorns come up. And so after the fall of man and after sin came into this world, there was a curse even upon the work that we do and upon this earth, so that the effort we put in won't always yield the results based upon the effort we put in. But it must be remembered that before sin came into the world, there was work. In fact, God sets the example for us. It says, in 6 days, God worked and created the world. And on the seventh day, what did he do? He rested. And there we see a divine paradigm from the beginning of creation, that we are designed by God to work for his glory, to work hard and to glorify him, and then to have a day of rest where we worship him as his people. Let's look at the context of Ephesians 4 before we jump into three commitments that we need to have if we will have a work ethic that glorifies God. So look at the context. We see that there have been a lot of prohibitions and commands. If you go back to chapter 4 here, look at verse 25. Paul goes back and forth upon a negative command and a positive command. Verse 25, he says, put away falsehood. And on the positive, he says, speak the truth with his neighbor. Last week, we looked at, be angry, have righteous anger, but do not sin. In fact, he even goes further, says, do not give opportunity to the devil with your anger. Do not let the sun go down upon your anger. And here we see another positive and negative. We see a negative at the beginning. Verse 28, he says, let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor or work hard, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone who is in need. This morning, we see that this command in verse 25, speak the truth with one another and speak the truth in love, as we find back in verse 15, that's also going to have some aspect of bearing on here as we think of honesty versus stealing, versus working hard versus slacking off, being truthful and honest with one another, even in the way that we work. So as we look this morning, I think the big idea that we want to walk away from God's word this morning is this. Regardless of what walk of life we're in or what stage of life we're in, if we are God's child, the big idea for us this morning is be diligent. Be diligent to glorify God and to bless others. Be diligent to glorify God and to bless others in the way that we work and the way that we think about our day-to-day activities. So this morning, I want to look briefly at three commitments from God's word that we see in verse 28 of a biblical work ethic. First of all, we see the first commitment that we must make if we are going to have a work ethic, a mindset that glorifies God, is that, first of all, we must forsake dishonest gain. We must forsake dishonest gain. In verse 28, he says, let the thief no longer steal. Literally, it says, let the stealer no longer steal. The word there is kleptone. That's where we get the term kleptomaniac, someone who is addicted to stealing. We see people that are addicted sometimes to shoplifting or other things, and they can't help it. There's no need for them to steal. They may even have all they need, and yet there's this sinful addiction in their heart that they just have to steal. It comes from this word klepto, the verb in the Greek to steal. And literally, Paul says, let the stealer or the thief no longer steal. It seems that there may have actually been an ongoing problem with some of these Christians who in their past life, before they came to Christ, were thieves. And it very well could be, we can't be confident, but it could be that some of them were still struggling with that past life. In this time in history, especially in Ephesus, there were many people who were unemployed, many people who didn't have work. And some commentators have surmised that perhaps also these are people who do not have jobs and they need food. They need clothing. And instead of going and finding a job or getting work, they're having to go to stealing. And he says, no, let's not do that, because there will be a challenge to the church here to make sure that you're helping those who have need within the body. But he says here, the first commitment we must make is to forsake dishonest gain. He says, do not steal. Steal no more. How many of you have heard that phrase, once a liar, always a liar? Or once a thief, always a thief? Well, that's how the world views sin. I've got to encourage you that the gospel says, once a thief, now a Christian. Once a thief, now a child of God. Once an old, dead creation, now a new creation in Christ. And so the challenge here that Paul is really saying is, be transformed. Let the transformation that has taken place in your own life come out in the way that you live. And specifically here, those who have been thieves or are struggling even now with stealing, don't steal anymore. Forsake dishonest gain. And then he goes on to say, but rather. That speaks of a change, a repentance, a turning from an old way of living to a new way. If you remember back, look in verse 21. He says, you were taught in Christ, as the truth is in Jesus, verse 22, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, and is corrupt through deceitful desires, verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and put on this new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. And so everything from there on down through the rest of this letter is going to be challenging us to live out this new life in Christ. So we speak the truth with one another. We don't let anger consume us, and we don't steal, but rather we forsake dishonest gain. You might say, well, Pastor Sam, I don't have a problem with stealing. Well, are there ways sometimes in our jobs that we can still have dishonest gain? I know there were times when I worked at FedEx, and that was an hourly job. It wasn't salary. And there were times when you got done early with work, and if you were, the belt was finished and there were no more packages going down, they told you it's time to clock out. And yet it was very tempting at times to milk the clock, as you'd hear it, and I'll find something, or to work a little slower so that the packages would stay in the belt a little longer, just so you could get those extra 15 minutes here, 20 minutes here. Could I encourage us as Christians to not pursue dishonest gain? But even in the small things of life, perhaps the time we clock in, clock out, or even the ways that we go about our life, having a lazy perspective on life. God does not want us to pursue laziness. He does not want us to pursue stealing, not taking advantage of other people. Think about a thief. What does a thief do? He takes what is not his, right? Or hers. And so what does he do in this dishonest gain? He takes advantage of others. He hurts others. He is not a blessing to others. And who is he seeking to serve in that thievery? Himself. Is he thinking about anyone else or those who he is sinning against? No. A Christian who has a biblical work ethic is called by God to not be lazy, to not take advantage of others, and even in the way that we work and the way that we think about our work. May we forsake dishonest gain. As I said before, whatever vocation God has called you to glorify him, whether you're a part of the active American job force right now, or if you're a full-time stay-at-home mother or father, if you are a student who's looking forward to summer break from classwork, if you are unemployed and in between jobs at the moment, or if you are unemployed and not seeking to be hired because you're retired, I know there's a number of us here who are enjoying. We've put our time in at the work before, years of work. We're retired. Whatever your state in life right now, God is calling you to commit to a biblical work ethic. And this is because every Christian is at work in God's harvest field. Our missions conference last year focused on the fact that to pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth more what? Laborers. It's the same word that he says, but rather labor. God has called us to serve him well. Doesn't matter our age in life or how long we've been saved. We are called to labor in God's harvest field. God wants you to have a biblical work ethic, and that realizes that we're living for eternity, even as we serve him in secular, regular jobs. Jesus even says, pray to the Lord of the harvest that he will send out more laborers into his harvest field. So the call for us this morning, regardless of where we are in life, is to be very diligent to glorify him and to bless others. And the first way we do that, in the way that we work, in the way that we live, is to have a commitment to forsake dishonest gain. If you wanted to say it this way, have a commitment to not sin as you work. Now, is that always easy to do? No. And are there going to be times where we fail? Yes. But as that sin is revealed to us through the Holy Spirit, we say, Lord, forgive. And we forsake that laziness, or we forsake that lying, or we forsake however we were dishonest in the way that we worked. We don't sin. Missionary David Brainerd, who died at a young age after ministering to the Native American Indians, he said, we should always look upon ourselves as God's servants, placed in God's world to do his work, and accordingly labor faithfully for him, not with a design to grow rich and great, but to glorify God and do all the good we possibly can. If you notice here in our verse, he says, let the thief no longer steal. So that's the negative. But then he moves on to say, but rather, let him labor doing honest work. That word honest is really the word good, doing good with his hands. But specifically, on the contrast to a thief who steals, being honest and doing good work. So as we are diligent to glorify God and bless others, secondly, we must have a commitment to not only forsake dishonest gain, but to pursue doxological gain. Remember this word doxological? We used it when we first started this series a couple times. The word doxological means to give praise and glory to God. That word doxa is the Greek word for glory. And so doing everything for the glory and praise of God. So we, instead of having dishonest gain, are to pursue gain that gives glory to God. So if you wanted to surmise this, you could say, have integrity. Make a commitment to not sin as you work for God's glory wherever he has us serving him, whether it be a mother or a father or a teacher or a student or an employer or an employee or a retiree or unemployed. The call for us is to have integrity as we work for his glory. This word labor in verse 28, that's what it means, labor. It's a word, Paul could have used a number of words, but he picked one that actually has to do with very hard work. In opposition, think about the change. Someone who was not working it at all, but taking, is now working honestly with his hands, working hard. He wants there to be a contrast. And again, I want to warn us, though, that this is not a call for burnout. But it is a call to work hard as God has called us. In a minute, we'll talk about a mindset of what that looks like. To work hard, let him labor. But also it means to work honestly. It says doing honest work, or rather doing good with his hands. Work honestly. Which means we need to be honest with God about our own limitations. We need to be honest with others about our own limitations. When we say we're going to be there on time, yes, we need to be there on time. But if work is getting to the point where it is getting so busy and so difficult, where it's causing us to have problems at home or even problems in our walk with God, then we need to be honest to say, you know what? I may need to scale back a little bit. That happens to all of us at some point, perhaps. It says doing honest work. And then it says work. I would say thirdly, not only work hard, work honestly, but work humbly. It says doing honest work with his own hands. Excuse me. With his own hands. Being willing to roll up your own sleeves, as it were, and to work humbly. Again, pride. Pride causes us to do a couple things. One, pride can cause us to be lazy, thinking that we don't need to work hard. But pride can also cause us to be overzealous and to work too hard. And to think that the job can't be done well unless we're the one doing it. And instead of delegating it to others, letting others serve and others work hard, we think we've got to do it all to get perfection just the right way. And we can fall into having an unbiblical work ethic, even in working too hard. Isn't that crazy how pride works? If I could be honest with you, pastors struggle with this. I need your prayers as your pastor, that I humble myself before God that I don't get so busy and doing, thinking, oh, it has to be Pastor Sam doing, realizing, are you kidding me? This is not your church. This is God's church. Pastors can fall into this trap of working so hard they get burnt out. So thank you for your prayers. I pray that all of us together will be working and serving and glorifying God together. When you see me, if you see me at some point and you think I'm getting a little too overzealous or I'm getting to the point of, you know what, just come to me, please, and say, Pastor Sam, I think you might need to take a step back. Some pastors don't appreciate that, but I've had some pastors talk to me and they've said, you know what, always be open to your church body and for their good wisdom, especially when you get too busy. But that doesn't mean that pastors also sit back and be lazy as well. Pride can do both things. The call here is to pursue gain doxologically. It's not wrong to get gain. That's the point here. It's not wrong to have a job and gain money. It's not wrong to be wealthy, but it must be done in a way that is not dishonest, right? We forsake dishonest gain, and we do it in a way that glorifies God. But also, it's not just for us, because even as we work, yes, God allows us to have work to provide for our families, to provide for our needs, but also, remember, our big idea is to be diligent to glorify God and bless others. Notice at the last part of this verse, Paul says, let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. This is important. And this is one of the last things we tend to think of many times when we go to work. But this is important. Thirdly, we need to have a commitment to serve others who need your help. Bless others. Have we made that commitment? Paul told us to speak the truth in love. Here he's saying, use the gifts and the talents that God has given you and use them in hard, honest, humble work for his glory so that you can bless others with the gain that God has given you. Here he's probably speaking of material help, maybe financially, maybe giving clothing, maybe giving food, maybe probably helping those who are unemployed at the time in the body and being a blessing to them, such as having a benevolent fund. I thank God for those who have been given towards that so we can help others in our body. But it's not just financial. I don't think this is just a financial thing because honestly, there are many Christians who work hard and have integrity in the way they work and are forsaking dishonest gain, but many of us don't have resources to go over and above. So does that mean that we're left out of serving others? No, not at all. It could be such a thing as providing a meal or helping with a project. Having the resources so that you could even have, some of you who have cars, the reason many of you have a car is because you worked hard at the job that provided money to have this car, and now you can use this vehicle, even something as simple as a vehicle, to be a blessing to others by helping them, taking them to appointments perhaps, taking them out to lunch, having an opportunity, just going and visiting and being with others. Using your resources and talents to be a blessing in any way that you can. Maybe it's providing a listening ear and gently speaking the truth in love in a way that blesses others with the grace and truth of God's word. It could even be babysitting or watching someone's children so a parent can get some pressing tasks done or so parents can go and have some time together on a romantic date. Parents need that. Maybe it's providing a thoughtful word or a note of encouragement. It's not always financial. Now here, I think primarily that's what it is. Work hard so that you have resources to be able to help others with. Maybe we need to sit back and think of some of the resources that God has given us and how we need to use them for God's glory. Maybe one of the resources that God has given you is time. I think of a number of the folks here who are retired and they've worked hard many, many years, and now you are reaping the fruits of your labors. And one of those fruits is just having time. Time to rest. Time to enjoy the rest that you've earned. But could I encourage you to maybe evaluate the time that God's given you. Realize God could be giving you this time so that you can be a blessing to others who have need. To take that time to pray with them. To encourage them. To write them a note. In this day and age, we have no reason to say, oh, I couldn't communicate with someone, right? I mean, we've got over-communication, right? May we take that communication even that God's given us to be a blessing to others. I think of Vacation Bible School coming up. I thank the Lord for those who have committed their time to helping serve. But even that is a way. Serving those outside the body of Christ. Showing love to our neighbors. The neighbor has a tire that goes flat, or he has a problem in his house, and maybe you have talents and abilities to help. What an opportunity to show the love of Christ to your neighbor or your coworker. God has blessed us richly, and even those of us who may not consider ourselves the more wealthy or the rich, we are far blessed, greatly blessed, I should say. We have ways that we can help others. Be creative. And I encourage you, if you ask God to give you eyes to see the needs around you and how you can meet those, he'll show you. And he'll show you ways you can help. So as we close this morning, this seems like a simple proposition. Be diligent to give God the glory and bless others, but we need to commit. We need to pray. Because left to ourselves, we won't have a desire to not sin as we go through our day-to-day lives and work for God's glory. We won't, left to ourselves, have a desire to have integrity. Remember when my dad was in the Air Force, he was stationed in Ohio, in Youngstown, Ohio, at an Air Force base there, and as he flew C-130s. And as you entered the base, it was a small Air Force base, but as you entered the base, there was one word that was across the front, and it had the name of the base, Youngstown Air Force Base. But then it said above it, integrity. Integrity. Why do we see integrity used so often as a selling point? It's because integrity is so lacking today. And for someone to actually be honest and to say, hey, I was wrong, will you forgive me? Or to not steal, to not take advantage of their boss, to not take advantage of others. That, sadly, today is a commodity that is not seen very often. The call for the Christian here is to commit to a biblical work ethic in the ways that we think, speak, act, live, and worship. So as we apply this, could I just say, number one, may we make a commitment between God by his grace to not sin. Don't sin, Paul says. Let the thief no longer steal. Don't sin. Rather, know the truth and pursue the truth instead of the darkness of sin, even in the way that we work. So as we go to bed, and maybe you're thinking about that meeting you have at work tomorrow, which I often use that illustration, or maybe you're thinking of where you have to go tomorrow, whether you're a teacher or wherever you're working, already be praying for God to be protecting your thoughts as you go to work tomorrow. Say, God, help me to not sin. Help me not to have dishonest gain or non-honorable gain as I go to work. Secondly, have integrity. By God's grace, speak the truth, live the truth, exalt God's righteousness, labor hard, work honestly, work humbly for the glory of God, wherever he has placed you in his harvest field. And realize that this physical job that he's given you, that is secondary to the ultimate call to glorify God in his harvest field. But also see that secular job, if you have one, as a means by which God is using you in his harvest field. We must be careful to, it's very easy when you're at a job for a while of time to get dissatisfied. Kind of get used to the ongoing pressures of that job. When that dissatisfaction comes, and sometimes there's some jobs that are just, they're difficult. Can I encourage us, instead of being unthankful, to look to the Lord and say, God, thank you for this work that you've given me. Thank you for this job, and please use me to be light as long as you have me here. It's not wrong to pray for another job. I'm not going to tell you that. It's not wrong to pray that God would change your circumstances and give you a job that would be far better for you, your family, and your circumstances. But as you're there, see this as an opportunity that God in his sovereign plan has given you. Can I speak to our moms this morning? We're thankful for you. Many times the job of a mother is a very unthanked job. Those days when you feel like you're at your wit's end, the children are just bouncing off the walls, can I encourage you to look to the Lord and say thank you? And to know that we're praying for you? Can I help all of us pray for our moms and our dads and our parents? Teachers are almost done. I think of our teachers as they get a long-awaited break. The boys had some teachers this year who really took a desire to show them Christ. I thank the Lord for godly Christian teachers who point their children to Christ. And yet all of us, in a way, here in this body, are kind of teachers to the children in our body. Could I encourage us to have a biblical work ethic towards the children, towards the upcoming generations in our church as well? To see them as God's gift to us, and as we react to them, as we serve them, as we love them, may we have integrity and show them what it looks like to be a Christian who loves Jesus with our life. And that will result in the third application, the third point, bless others. Bless others. So may we have a commitment to not sin, to have integrity, and to bless others. And what does that do? That keeps the focus off of who? Here. And it puts the focus where it needs to be, on God and blessing others. And when we do that, what are we doing? We're fulfilling the law of Christ. What did Christ say? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and you shall love yourself? No. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And God, Jesus says, by the way, when he's speaking to that, we'll look at that this evening, so I don't want to steal my thunder, but when he's speaking to that lawyer who's asking, what's the greatest? The lawyer came to Jesus and said, what's the greatest commandment? Jesus tells him, love God and love others. And Jesus says, oh, by the way, on this commandment hangs everything. Everything. All the law, all the prophets. Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward, you are serving the Lord Christ. As we go through our day today, realize that you are serving Jesus Christ. How are we serving him, though? What's the quality of our service? Are we serving him honestly and humbly and serving others through his grace? I pray that we are. As we close, please turn to Matthew 25. I just want to read a passage of scripture, and then we'll close. Sometimes we wonder, does it really matter if I take this opportunity to bless someone? Does it really matter when the Spirit moves in my heart and says, you need to go be a blessing? Maybe God says, hey, I want you to go help this person in need financially. I want you to go and say a comforting word to them. Does it really matter if I obey every time when the Spirit says, go minister to that person? Well, I would encourage you with this thought, that God is watching, and he has people prepared for you to serve with the gain that he has given you. Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, to the sheep, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, you did not welcome me. Naked, you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, you did not visit me. And then they will also answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Let me tell you something, that's a shocking statement. Shocking. Because these were people who thought they were right with God. Don't forget that. They thought they were right. And yet their actions show that they did not really know the love of God. As John says in 1 John, if you love God, love others. Don't say that you love God and don't want to serve your brother, because if you do that, you're a liar and the truth's not in you. So could I encourage us? This is not saying that every day we need to be going giving our money to the poor. I want to be very careful with that. But what this is saying is if we go through our whole life as a professing Christian and we turn our eye to blessing others with the gain that God has given us, then we are in a very precarious situation. So I encourage us not to go that way, but rather to pursue blessing others with the life that God has given us. Be diligent to glorify God and to bless others. As we close, I just want to make a comment. How will we know? I've been praying, you know, but God's blessed us to be here 2 years, and I'm thankful for the work that God's doing. I'm thankful for the body that's here this morning and those who are ministering around this facility this morning. But how will we know when God is really at work at Open Door Bible Church? How will we know? And I think from this passage this morning, one of the ways that we will know for certain that God is at work actively at Open Door Bible Church is when the far majority of our church family is diligent in glorifying God and blessing others. I thank God for the many of us that are doing that. And I pray for those of us who maybe have not jumped into that conviction yet, I pray that God will work that in our hearts. It starts with your personal worship of God. And it continues to your corporate worship of God. And then it continues in personal ministry for the glory of God. None of us are an island to ourselves. So can I encourage you this morning, review your personal worship of God. How is your time in the Word? How is your time in prayer? How is your personal time with God, your worship of Him through the week? May we not just praise and worship God on Sunday morning. May we praise Him every morning, every day. How is your corporate worship? How is your faithfulness in meeting regularly with the body of Christ? We can't expect God to bless us if we are not faithful in the basic things. And then, after our personal and corporate worship is right, then we can go and honestly serve others for the glory of God, right? We can't go and serve others when we're not living as we ought at home. So I encourage us to pursue that. So where are you in the process this morning? Maybe you're here this morning and you know that salvation has not really happened in your life. Maybe that's where the process needs to start for you this morning, in having a biblical work ethic. If you need to be saved from your sins, I'd encourage you, don't play games any further with God. Don't try to pull one over on Him, because you're not going to. We can pull them over on each of us, but we can't on God. I encourage you, if salvation still needs to be done in your life, confess your sin to God and receive His gift of salvation. But if you're here, which I believe the majority of us are, and we're in that stage of discipleship, then may we, by God's grace, glorify God with our way we live, the way that we think, the way that we work, and may we bless others for the glory of our great God. In a moment, we're going to sing a hymn, I Want to Be Faithful. I Want to Be True. I pray that that is a message of our heart this morning as we worship Him. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your word to us. I thank You, God, that You set the example for us in Christ of what it looks like to work hard for the glory of God. Father, we thank You that our Savior was diligent to the call that You gave Him, and He did it without sin. He did it in a way that glorified You, and He totally did it in a way that blessed others. We are recipients of His blessing this morning. Father, we pray that You would do the same work through us, that we would glorify You, and that we would bless others. We pray that You would make Your name great in this community through the ministry of Open Door Bible Church. We ask these things in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.